Galatians, much like the book of Romans, reveals God's salvation to us in a most dynamic and marvelous way. We are saved by faith, through grace, and fully according to the operation of the Spirit, and not by the works of law. But the revelation of the New Testament, and of these books especially, does not stop here. There is a goal to this salvation, a wonderful goal that should fully become our goal as well. This was the deep burden of the Apostle Paul in Galatians, and it's our topic today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. What a bountiful treasure of light and life from God's Word has been left to the whole body of Christ from these two faithful servants. We're honored to be able to bring it to you each day, and we today includes Dick Taylor and myself. Dick, we have a very enjoyable task day by day, don't we?
We sure do. What a joy and what a pleasure to enjoy Christ in the book of Galatians.
Yesterday, Dick, we saw something concerning not just salvation, but the term that Witness Lee used particularly was the economy of God's salvation or the economy of redemption, particularly in these two New Testament books, Romans and Galatians, that it turns out are quite similar. We want to go on today even a bit farther to see the goal of this economy, but let's have you give us a little recap of just what we mean when we say the economy of God's salvation.
The economy of God's salvation, or God's redemption, is different than just God's redemption, for example, because God's redemption may just be His act to redeem us back to Himself from a lost condition. But the economy of God's redemption or God's salvation, Chris, indicates that there is a plan involved, because economy means arrangement, management, administration, and in a simple way we could say plan. This is God's plan. And it also indicates that there is a goal.
Right.
So the economy of God's salvation indicates there is a definite goal in this salvation. There is a definite arrangement, a definite dispensing. So in conclusion, we would just say the economy of God's salvation includes His plan with His goal to accomplish His heart's desire.
It's this goal. We touched it a little bit yesterday in the program. We want to come back to it and really focus on it more today. And it was marvelous to see yesterday, as we're going to see again today, this goal is very present in both of these books. Many people think of the book of Romans as a book that deals with primarily justification by faith. And that is a main topic in the book. But it leads to the goal or an issue, which is, as we're talking about today, the same goal, the same issue that Paul presented to the Galatians as well. And that goal, that issue, is sonship.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to look at in this coming portion. Let's go to our brother Witness Lee.
If you read Ephesians 1, it tells you we all have been predestinated by God. Firstly, we have been chosen by God. Before the foundation of the world, before the creation, in eternity past, God, according to His foreknowledge, He has chosen you. God put a mark upon you unto sonship. God has destined you to be one of His sons. This destiny of God's choosing is quite much missed, neglected by us. Why? Because in our concept, we only realize as fallen people, we need God's salvation. Salvation is the main thing in our concept. We never dream that God has the sonship. Sonship in the Bible means to have God's life, God's nature, and to inherit God, to inherit God's being. God's riches, God's doing. Not only so, sonship also implies perfection. You have to be as perfect as the Father. Amen. And perfection means maturity. This is sonship. Still, the sonship is not full. Why? Verse 23 in Romans 8. Even the redemption of our body is the full sonship. When our body will be redeemed, we will have the full sonship.
Amen.
And to have our body redeemed means what? It means to have our body transfigured. To have our body changed metabolically. Not just orally, but changed organically with some life element route into a being. Do you realize one day our body will be transformed, metabolically, organically transformed with the intrinsic supply of divine life? That is for sonship because it is up to that time we surely will express God. This sonship is God's heart's desire. Oh, this wonderful Father, eternal Father, He wants to have such a universal expression.
Dick, when we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into us to save us, He does it, and we rejoice. But as was pointed out earlier, it's unlikely that at that time we have really any thought at all about how God views such a salvation. And that is that we would ultimately be fully brought into sonship. What's implied in this term, sonship?
The implication of this term, sonship, is that we, when we receive the Lord Jesus into us, have received the very life of God, making us God's sons. We've also received the very nature of God because included in this life is the divine nature. And that because we've received His life and His nature, we will be those who inherit God with all of His unsearchable riches. All that God is, all that God has, all that God does is ours. We should be very, very happy. And then on top of this, Chris, sonship also implies perfection in the divine life. And perfection can be equated with maturity. No young child is a fully matured son, so there needs to be some perfecting of that life. And then ultimately, sonship also includes the very fullness of sonship, which means we have become sons not only in our spirit and not only in our soul, our mind, emotion, and will, but even in our physical body, we have been transfigured. And this means that spiritually, psychologically, and even physically, we have become the sons of God. All three parts of our tripartite being have been saturated, permeated, soaked with God, His life, His nature, all His riches, His perfecting, to be the same as He is. In Romans 8:23, it says, we're eagerly awaiting sonship, the redemption of our body. This is sonship in its fullness when our body is transfigured. So Romans 8:23 indicates that the completion and the fullness of sonship is even the redemption and transfiguration of our body. The whole point of sonship is that God would have an expression. This wonderful Father desires many, many sons so that He could be properly expressed. And we are those who are enjoying right this very moment sonship, where we become absolutely the same as He, but not in the Godhead. Hallelujah for sonship.
Dick, it's a term that maybe gets relegated to an understanding that's more figurative than literal in a lot of circles. And I think we are fighting to overcome that somewhat in this program. We try to stress very much This is literal. Sons of God in his life, in his nature. We really are becoming in every way, except as you said, in the Godhead, his sons.
Amen. That's true. And to back this up, Chris, we have Galatians 4, which says, he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, in which we cry, Abba, Father. We are genuine sons of God. Hallelujah.
Well, Dick, in this section coming up, we're going to see three categories of people and how they approach the desires that reside in all of us to be the kind of persons that we really think we should be. This is an interesting section. I think there's something here for our listeners coming up that'll be very insightful. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Walk by the Spirit simply means walk by the triune God. And how can you walk by the triune God? Because you have been born of him. And now you are his son. You have him within you. You have his nature. You have his life. The unbelievers, they cannot walk by the Spirit because they don't have the Spirit. Some learned ones are here. I must tell you, regardless how much you have learned, you are still a creature of God. We are sons of God. We are here walking according to our God. We are working according to our Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit. Three kinds of teachings. Number one teaching is that we human beings must be ethical. We must behave, we must conduct ourselves in the best way. The Greeks, the Egyptians, and today the Americans, the British, the French, any kind of race, every race, all teaches a people the same thing. To improve your behavior, to behave yourself, you must be nice, be kind, be gentle, be honest, be faithful, not stealing, but loving. You've been taught this way. And your teacher did tell you that you are weak. By yourself, you cannot make it. You better pray that God may help you. This is ethical teaching. Plus, a little bit religion here. This is one kind. Then the second kind, with genuine believers, fundamental Christians, say, we have to be guided. We have to be led. We have to be inspired by the Spirit. We know this. This is common. And this kind of teaching is popular. Nearly every way, this kind of teaching is going on among the Christians. Nothing wrong here. But listen, there is much possibility in helping people to behave like God's creature with the help of God's Spirit. On the one hand, God's people to trust in the Holy Spirit, to receive the help from the Holy Spirit. This is not wrong. But it all depends upon what ground you trust in the Holy Spirit. If you trust in the Holy Spirit on the ground of a creature, you usurp the Holy Spirit. You must stand on the ground of a Son of God, then you enjoy the Father's Spirit. That is the second. The third is the right one. And the third is what? Is to realize, hallelujah. Amen. I have been born of God. Now I have his nature and I have his life. I am a Son of God. And he not only gives me the Spirit, he himself is now the Spirit within me to carry out my sonship, to make me a full son, not just to help me to be more loving, more nice, more humble. Not like that. This very God is now in me.
Amen.
As my life, as the source of my life supply, and as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, who has a bountiful supply. He is in me as such a one, not to help me to behave in a nice way, to make me a nice guy, to make me the best wife or the best husband. No, he is with me to accomplish his sonship. to make me a fool, son.
Brother Dick, how crucial is this? What a marvelous, clear word that we just heard. And I believe there really is light here from the Lord, if we can just receive it. Let's talk a little bit more about these three categories of people desiring to live a proper and moral life. Contrast these three groups for us, Dick.
Number one, on this earth, no matter what the background, Chinese, Japanese, American, among every race on the face of the earth, you can see a tendency for people to want to just have a proper behavior. And their living is just filled with ethical teachings and mixed in a little bit with religion. Remember, we mentioned what religion is, just worshiping God, but no real enjoyment or experience of Christ. And this is a kind of people just trying to carry out a kind of moral, upright, good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the life of God. And so there's no expression of God. It's just people trying to behave in a good way. But we know because man has fallen, eventually you're a failure anyway. The second kind of person is an actual believer in Christ, but without the proper view of sonship. We have to say that among Christians, Chris, there is a constant danger of helping God's people to behave like God's creatures by the help. Listen to what I say, the help of God's Spirit. This is not God's goal in His economy. This is just man, in a sense, misusing the Spirit. We're not here just to get some help from the Spirit. We're not here just to become more loving, more humble, more powerful, more gentle by the help of the Spirit. No, we need to be the third kind of people, those who are born of God, who've received God's life, God's nature, are inheriting all the riches of God, enjoying Him as the perfecting one, and realizing that the very life they've received is the very triune God Himself, and He's in us, working in us day by day, not to help us in ourselves to be more moral, to be more loving, to be more kind, but He is working Himself into us as the genuine love, as the genuine kindness, the genuine righteousness. He wants to be everything to us to make us His increase and His enlargement as His many sons for His proper expression.
Dick, witness Lee, had I thought a very succinct and meaningful way of expressing it. If I remember correctly, I think he said, if we stand on the ground of a creature seeking the help of God's Spirit, we actually usurp the Spirit. But if we stand on the ground as a genuine and proper son, then we enjoy the Spirit. We enjoy the Spirit of the Son who has been shed abroad into our heart.
Amen. So we don't want to usurp. We want to enjoy.
Amen. Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee. We have a very brief section ahead, and then you and I will come back for our final comments.
Many Christian teachers followed Galatians 5:16 to charge certain persons to walk by the Spirit. But they do not see this verse has a full ground, that is the whole book of Galatians. You cannot just quote this one verse to isolate it, to cut it out of the whole context. That's wrong. The whole book of Galatians reveals to us that we were sinners, condemned by God according to His righteous law. Then He sent His Son to accomplish redemption for us. And we got redeemed, so we have received the Father's life, the Father's nature, and even we have received the Father as the all-inclusive Spirit. And now He is the all-inclusive Spirit, indwelling our spirit, working, moving, acting, anointing all the time to make us the full sons. Now, we are not only charging, exhorting you to walk according to the Spirit. Now, we are helping you to see that you are a son of God. Amen. And the Father today within you, as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, is making you a full son. He's anointing you, making you a full son. Now, what you have to do is just walk according to this indwelling one.
In English, in both of these two verses, the word walk is used. Same word, walk. Verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. Then verse 25 says, as you live by the Spirit, so walk by the Spirit. This is not first-hand teaching, neither the second-hand teaching. This is the right teaching.
Dick, we often hear Galatians 5:16 quoted as a kind of exhortation to Christians to have their walk or behavior improved and to be by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And that verse, of course, says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will in no way fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But why, Dick, is it really not that helpful to isolate this verse and cut it out of the context of the whole book of Galatians?
The book of Galatians shows us, yes, we are sinners, and we are condemned according to God's righteousness. But God sent His Son not merely to redeem us from the fallen situation back to Himself, but His redemption was altogether for sonship, which is the goal of His economy in His salvation. So to take this verse, walk by the Spirit, outside of the context of the goal of God's economy, which is sonship, is to be cheated. And as we mentioned earlier, it's even to usurp the Spirit. Actually, you won't enjoy the Spirit because the goal of God's economy is sonship. So to walk by the Spirit is not just for us to behave in a certain way with the help of the Spirit. No, to walk by the Spirit is to have this wonderful one that we're enjoying wrought into our being to make us the genuine, bona fide sons of God, just the same as Jesus Christ. Isn't this wonderful? I'd like to just read a little bit, Chris, that I really enjoyed from this ministry. God sent His Son to accomplish redemption for us so that we may become sons of God. That's the whole goal. Now, as God's true sons, we have God's life. As we've mentioned, we have God's nature and even the triune God Himself as the all-inclusive Spirit dwelling within us. And this wonderful one's working within us, moving within us, acting within us, anointing us to make us sons of God in full. And I like this, because we are God's sons, and because the triune God is working within us toward the goal of full sonship, we should walk by the Spirit. So walking by the Spirit is altogether related to sonship. Because we're His sons, we should walk by the Spirit. We're not here walking by the Spirit just to improve our behavior, just to upgrade our kind of living. No, we're here walking by the Spirit because we're sons of God, and as we walk by this wonderful one, He works Himself into us to make us the genuine sons of God in life, in nature, in a perfected way, and even in full. We would be the same as Him, spirit, soul, and body. So we have to thank the Lord for this verse, walk by the Spirit, in its context of the goal of God's economy, which is sonship. So we're not people who are just behaving by the Spirit's help, but we're people who are enjoying the wonderful Spirit, who is the Spirit of sonship. And as we enjoy Him, we participate in His life, His nature, all of His unsearchable riches, to the point where we reach sonship in its full, which is even the transfiguration of our body. The goal of God's economy is sonship. So to walk by the Spirit is not just to improve our outward behavior, but to walk by the Spirit is altogether for the carrying out of the goal of God's economy, that is sonship.
Well, Dick, this is our next to the last program in the life study of Galatians. We're going to go back next week to the book of Exodus, where we left off with the giving of the law. And that was, interestingly, how the book of Galatians really began, was the effect that that law was still having on God's people in the New Testament economy. And, of course, Paul begins by opening up so many of these rich matters to the Lord's people in the region of Galatia that were entrapped by the law, but all with the goal, all with the aim to bring them to this point that the book concludes with, the marvelous point of sonship, and how enjoyable it has been to have these times together in the book of Galatians to really get into this, enjoy it ourselves, and hopefully offer it to all of our listeners in a way that is fresh and new and living to them as well. Appreciate having you on a number of these programs, and I'm also looking forward to getting back to Exodus. That was tremendous.
Me too, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I would be remiss if I didn't point out today, we are very short of time. Quickly, I promised Brother Jeff, who serves here very faithfully and diligently and who does all of the tape duplication, and he has prepared a number of these full sets of life study tapes that cover the entire books that we cover on the life study of the Bible with Witness Lee, our radio program. These radio cassettes, each cassette contains two messages, and we have them boxed together at a very, very attractive price. And so I promised him we would mention that a time or two in the coming days. He and others have worked hard to put those sets together, and we can offer them to you again. Two tapes per cassette, and the entire set of the book, say, of Romans or of Galatians as we finish it tomorrow. The book of Isaiah is complete. The first half of Exodus is complete. Genesis, John, we have all of these previous life study books that we've concluded here duplicated and boxed in sets. So if you're interested in these, please contact us toll free. Our number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, and as always, we can give you information about how to receive these printed messages as well. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, and you can write to us always email to radio@lsm.org. As I said, we'll return tomorrow, our final life study in the book of Galatians. Please be with us then. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening.